Hey everyone, I was hoping to get this message put together sooner, but things like this unfortunately take time to set up. I just want to say that the acts of war against Ukraine break my heart, and I know as a prior service member myself that my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone who's fighting the fight that they really shouldn't have to. That being said, we have been working behind the scenes with all of our podcasts and podcast partners to put a fund together in order to pay for any refugee housing and other needs that go alongside that, like food, water, and any clothing needs. Internally, many podcasts in the Hospitality FM network have voluntarily given up sponsorship money in order to donate to the cause and are working on a unified message in order to spread throughout all of our podcasts. So this is me calling out to all of our property manager friends, industry experts, and anyone knowing of those providing lodging for Ukrainian refugees seeking safety. You can contact me directly at Will, with one L, W-I-L, at slicktalkmedia.com. We have an internal document that is being updated in real time, so if anyone could share this message within your network, we'd greatly appreciate it. I'm also placing in the show notes a link to our GoFundMe and landing page for Rentals to Rescue. That's rentalstorescue.com, where we're putting funds together in order to, again, provide finances for any of these lodging and relocation needs. So thank you so much for tuning into this quick message. I hope you guys are all well and safe, as I know we have tons of listeners in Ukraine and other countries in Europe. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Good morning, my friend. How are we doing
today? What's up? Happy Monday. Happy Monday.
Cheers to coffee and Monday mornings. It's a little quiet this morning because it's just us two. We're not being joined with our fantastic co-host, Mr. Ross, this morning. So I think you and I are going to have a fun, intimate conversation today.
In case he's watching and his son, who's our biggest fan, Oliver. Hi, Oliver.
Hi, good Oliver.
Evening. Good evening.
Hi, Ross.
Good night.
Yeah, get ready for bed. Brush your teeth. we do have a live viewer on YouTube right now, so it might be them. Who knows? But hey, man, how's the weekend? What's up? What's new? What's cracking? I'm excited because we're doing a third week / third episode on money. Investment, you know, consolidation in the industry and all this other stuff. So it's good.
Yeah, it hasn't been, I can't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago that we talked about the fact that money was lagging in money and M&A was lagging in the hotel space, and short-term rentals have gotten pretty much all of it since Airbnb IPO'd. That has changed. This past week, a lot had happened. But before we jump into the hotel side, shout out to Steve Milo. You want to bring that one up real quick, Will?
Steve Milo,
Steve Milo of V-Trips, coming up on Vacasa's heels. They got about $250 million in capital, or at least access to capital, to go do a roll-up. And in theory, probably take it public, or maybe a separate, package it up, separate PE firm buys it. But kudos Milo, holding out, not selling to Vacasa, and creating the good competition that the market needs.
Yeah, I was gonna say it was getting a little too easy out there. Now we have a race to watch, which will be interesting.
Yeah, Vacasa bought Wyndham, and then they bought Turnkey. So they bought out their top two competitors. The next one on the list is V-Trips, and it does not look like Milo's selling. So,
yeah.
And then right behind that, Casago, buddies Steve Schwab and Ryan Dame. So I don't believe they have any plans to sell either. So that's good. Let the competition remain and not have a one-trick pony in the industry.
Yeah. I want to say not even a competition, more it's just kind of cool to see, you know, the original I guess, starters and finishers go all the way, you know, from beginning to end, instead of just saying, all right, now you're going to go public and we're out, we're on our yachts, sitting on the beach, chilling. This is going to be, it's going to be interesting to see all the way to completion. So,
yeah, some people do it for the money. Some people do it for the competition. Some people do it for the love of the space. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with any of them at all. But it is definitely interesting to see, you know, when I started in the industry, Milo had maybe a couple hundred just in Florida. Mm. And since then, he's bought up fantastic companies like Smoky Mountains with Dave Angotti and another 10, 15 companies, I believe. But looks like he's got a war chest to go knock down another, you know, I don't know how far that's going to go, but a significant amount of companies.
Well, eventually when Recreation Rentals gets big enough, we'll maybe roll up in that. That'd be kind of fun.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
There's a vision.
But without further ado, today is mostly about hotels, and yeah, it was an active week last week. Where do we want to start?
I think we should start with Muse, one of my favorite peeps over there at Muse.
All right.
So we got them purchasing Hotel Perfect in order to expand their UK operations. So I think that was an interesting roll up. I know we talked about tech and other platforms absorbing each other in the last 2 weeks. And so now the hotel side of the industry is showing those signs. So it's kind of
cool. Yeah. I wish Ross was here to give us a little more knowledge on the hotel side, but we miss you, buddy. But this is, I know there's about 70 PMSs out there for short-term rentals. I'd have to imagine there's an equal, potentially larger amount for hotels.
More. Oh, yeah.
And so I'm very familiar with Muse, not too familiar with the company they just acquired, but I'm sure strategically looks like it gets them into a market that they might not have had a big footprint in, or, you know, I don't know what the economics were, if it was a fire sale or if it was, you know, strategic alliance, but nonetheless, M&A on the vendor side is bound to happen, and it's bound to continue to accelerate. We've seen a good bit of it so far this year in hospitality. When you have so many providers, there's only so many cookies that can be, what's that saying? I'm terrible at sayings. So many slices of the pie that can go around. There we go.
Yeah.
Not cookies.
No cookies today.
and the whole market is ripe for some roll-ups. Now that said, there's a lot of antiquated technology, green screens even. I've been to hotels, I'm sure you have, that still have the dock green screens, and it's
Marsha and Operas and all the other platforms that are ancient.
Yeah. So there's this blend of like the Operas, who have probably more units than anybody, mm-hmm, but their tech might be lagging behind some new tech. And then there's new tech that can't break in because switching a PMS is extremely painful.
Yeah.
But at some point it's bound to happen. It's got to happen. Either the old school guys get a lot better. An easy way to get a lot better is to acquire your competition and then move everyone onto the platform for them. So I expect that to start happening. You know, people are, especially on the hotel side, still lagging in the revenues, you know, hurting a lot more so than our friends in the short-term rental space. So there's got to be some good opportunities to purchase right now. But let's, do you want to move on to the next headline? Well,
I was going to say, just with the cost part of a hotel, like hotels kind of get used and abused when it comes to pricing on this type of stuff. Because as a short-term rental operator, you know, like there's a ton of us that have like that barrier to entry for whether it's property management software. It's all very much lower because it's all web-based. There's nothing to like, there's no real, you know, Opera setting where you have to like download it to this big server and have this whole server room and fans going and like import, export, create this whole thing. And so I think with that changing, I think a company like Muse, you know, they're kind of leading the example of that short-term rental type of software where it's, you know, you don't really need to create this whole thing. It's just you set it up on your laptop and you're off and ready to go. Versus Opera, you know, it takes a whole dev team to basically just create one property with 130 rooms or 300 rooms type deal. So it's going to be interesting to see as Muse continues to acquire and grow, because I think they're going to be a good leader in that space.
Yeah, it's kind of like Salesforce has a bajillion plugins that you can do, but you have to hire experts to do it for mm-hmm. you. Like mm-hmm. it has the most functionality, but it is not easy to build and set up and get going. Whereas you can use any super cheap CRM that can do 80% of the functionality. It just can't take you that last 20%. So
100%.
Yeah. And it all depends on what your needs are, right? If you have a small hotel that's 20 units, you don't need, you know, big robust PMS. But if you've got,
yeah,
you know, 9,000 doors, change the story a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of 9,000 doors, I think the next one, actually, no, it's not this one. Sorry.
We'll make it the next one. Make it the next
okay.
one.
Okay. All right. We'll make it the next one.
We'll so, go to Hyatt. Yeah. So 9,000 doors, Apple Leisure Group, super luxury resort space, a good purchase for Hyatt because not only does it push them even further into the luxury side, but vacation travel is where everyone's going, and likely in the foreseeable future as business travel will lag leisure. So well done, Hyatt, pushing out of cities and into destination markets makes total sense. You know, it adds, I did some numbers to confirm before the webinar today, but the amount of brands that these top hotel companies collect is enormous. So Apple, I believe, had 7 different brands and Hyatt already had 20. So it puts them at 27 total brands. The only one bigger than that is Marriott at 30 brands. And then you've got Hilton at 18, IHG at 16, and Accor at 10. So the top 5 parent brands account for 101 subsidiary brands, which is pretty nuts. We should yeah. play a brand roulette game one day where we say a brand and you have to guess or not guess, you actually know which one it's assigned to. That'd be fun.
That would be actually really fun. I'm down to do that.
All right.
So I'll let Corey know, our assistant, to help create that with us. It'll be fun. No, that's actually a really good idea. I like that. Brand roulette. That's so fun. Yeah. Cool. No, and it's just, you and I were talking before even hitting the live for the show today. It was just that how, you know, you and I are loyalist to our brand. So we've talked about this too, about Marriott and how we are pretty active users, but at the end of the day, an overall consumer of travel in any form, whether they usually use vacation rentals or hotels, it's pretty confusing to tell what brands with who. You know, there's one time I stayed at a Red Lion property, not knowing it was a Red Lion property and all this other stuff. And then,
Red Lion?
Huh?
Who owns Red Lion?
Red Lion does. I think they go under like
Sonesta big... bottom.
Sonesta did? Oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah. That was a while ago. That's interesting. Cause I remember they're going through a big sell-off. They sold one of their, actually their corporate office in Spokane, Washington, to Marriott. So it was interesting sell. But anyways, long story short, for the overall consumer, there's so many brands, 101 brands between the 5 top hotel companies. Like, that's so much to take in.
What does it tell you about the market, though?
I don't know. I think we're over confusing it in my head. Like, you know, a lot of them are trying to hit different personas and travelers. You know, granted, there's a lot of different types of destinations, whether it's city, urban, or like we just saw with the Apple Leisure, is that, you know, destination market. But, you know, I don't think we need 101 brands to differentiate a style of a property. That's just me. Like, you can fit pretty much like a good chunk of it into probably a little bit less of a confusion.
I think there's 2 reasons behind it. One, you can't have a Marriott in downtown New York right next door to a Marriott.
Yeah.
But you can't have a Marriott right next door to a W, right next door to a Westin, right next door to a Ritz-Carlton, right next door to, you know, the other 26 that I didn't name. So
yeah,
it helps create density in a market. But what you also see, or what is obvious to me, I think, is the desire for people to not travel and stay in a box chain hotel every time they travel. Like, for me, I like boutique brands, and the W is a boutique brand. It's one of my favorites. But I also like super boutique brands like Lifehouse, right?
Yeah.
Or I stayed in the Dean in Ireland recently. Awesome hotel. You're not going to see that get flagged most likely by a chain, because the chains make you do X, Y, and Z. And in order to keep the brand standards, it makes sense, but you also kind of lose that cool local feel, design, touch, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think it shows the importance of boutique hotels and boutique brands around the world.
Yeah.
But the big boys want a piece of the pie in that case. So,
yeah, I totally agree. And I, you know, thinking back on my like hotel manager days, thinking about density in the market, I was just like, dang, as you said it, I was thinking about, you know, how we had one owner who owned a IHG, who owned a Choice, who owned a Best Western, who owned this in the same city, thinking, wow, what kind of competition is he creating for himself? But then at the end of the day, if he went all IHG, that would make no sense, because there wouldn't be enough option or choice in that market versus him having the three different versions of a brand that's similar to each other through different corporations. That
yeah. Makes sense. Look, they do lots of studies before building hotels on where travelers, what parts of town people want to stay in. Just like, when's the last time you went to a bar and it was all by itself away from every other bar and restaurant in town? Just doesn't happen. It doesn't make sense to you. You want to bounce from one bar to another, or one restaurant to a cocktail and whatever. So you have to build some density in markets, but at the same time, you can't have two McDonald's next door to one another. They yeah. sell these franchises or licenses to their brands, and these owners want all of the traffic for that specific region, and rightfully so. They're paying good money for it. So
yeah. Do you think hotels, you know, corporations like Hyatt or Marriott will end up just not branding these type of boutique properties? They'll just, like, kind of like the W, even though it's a brand and it's well known for like its signature, you know, look and style and feel. Do you think they'll start doing just more independent individuals, but using the same type of kind of credibility that their name carries?
So you're talking about, I think, a Soft Collection, and yeah, I mean, they do have Soft Collections, right? So what's the Marriott one called? The Signature?
The Autograph?
The Autograph Collection. Yeah. So you get to keep your brand, you keep your style and feel, but Marriott can help drive you traffic. So
correct.
Those brands, those hotels in theory aren't paying as much as a straight up Marriott would.
Yeah.
But they still have access as part of a collection or a soft brand to the Marriott travelers. So yes, I think that's in a lot of markets, it makes sense. If you're a 5-star hotel, but you are next door to a St. Regis and a Ritz,
yeah,
it's tough to get traffic unless you're part of a big collection or a big brand. True. Yes.
Okay. Good.
All right. Next one.
We got Oyo, because you know, we can't talk enough about some good IPO here. So it looks like Oyo picks who they want to go public with.
Yeah, this one I'm super interested to dive into the numbers on, because they have, in that says they have 100,000 hotels. And these small hotels spread across 80 countries. I know a lot of the Oyo hotels in America are not in the best locations. They're roadside hotels. Their ADRs are super low. And I know it's that way for lots of the world. So I can't imagine their revenues the past 18 months or even halfway decent.
Well, given they even, didn't they like recently, I just saw on Skift or something else that they got rid of like their US market in general. Like they are cutting a lot of markets in order to.
I know they shut down their, they were trying to break into vacation rentals and they shut that down. So they bought Leisure Group out of Amsterdam, who had 26,000 doors or something like that. Wow. And they've pretty much shut the doors to all vacation rental activities from what I understand. I could be wrong there, but you see, you know, Apple selling for multiple billions of dollars. They have 900 doors. OYO has
9,000
doors. Yeah. OYO has 100,000 hotels, but it's looking at, you know, just over $1 billion IPO. So that, that,
well, it says that they host 100,000 hotels. Doesn't mean they even own. So like,
yeah, they don't own any of them. They have rights to them. They book them.
Yeah.
They might own some of them, but it's actually, did it say 9 billion? They're raising. No. So yeah, they're looking at financing rounds pre-IPO. This one's one I want to track and look at the numbers on. Diving in the numbers on Vikasas and Saunders of the world are super interesting. And Tebow did a great job of the announcement or the breakdown of Vikasa. So hopefully Tebow will do the same with OYO when those numbers come out.
So we should talk about getting him on to dive into those numbers. That'd be great. I think a little nice little rental scale up crossover with GMH would be fun.
There we go. It's good.
Yeah.
So the long-awaited hotel IPO is here though, and we knew that the market was lagging behind short-term rentals, but it's good to see an IPO on the hotel side. Hopefully it opens up more to come, but it seems right now if you want to get acquired, the most likely thing you need to build is a brand, because there's 101 opportunities out there to be number 102. And shoot, man, 7 brands with Apple, 9,000 doors is $2 billion.
Yeah.
Good for them. Good Seriously. For them.
Well, as our other co-host Ross would say, you know, I don't think there's a week that we've been wrong so far. We're pretty ahead of the curve when it comes to these predictions and these educated guesses. So
he's a confident man.
He's a confident, very much so. But hey, I think it's kind of cool to see it unfold, you know, as we dive in every week. There's times where I'm like, I don't know if we'll see anything about this. And then, you know, here we are 3 weeks into talking about, you know, capital fundraise, mergers, and M&A, and then IPOs. So it's like, all right, well, it's happening, and it seems to be something that we're able to predict pretty soon compared to the market.
Unless, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, on the heels of this Apple purchase, some investment go into some soft brands or some collections or some boutiques in hopes that, you know, in 2 to 5 years, they get bought for $1 billion plus valuations. So yeah, for all you boutique hotels out there, keep it up, because your day is coming too. But if you want to hold out like our friend Steve Milo did and go after the man and attack it head on, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Seriously. So, makes it fun for us. More content for us to talk about.
Each his own.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I'm going to kind of go into the prediction of, or guess of, kind of how like Kayak Hotels and Lifehouse are partnering up and starting to create their own. I think, you know, companies like Muse or whoever, the more of the software service providers are going to start going into that route as well, start buying and acquiring some of their partners or potential partners that they want to work with and start getting their hand in both cookie jars there.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So two other companies that collect brands, Expedia and Booking.com. Kayak's the first one to break into a brand, branded hotel or a collection. I don't know exactly what they're calling it or where they're running with it. But who's next there? Does Airbnb, you know, 3 years ago, Airbnb was talking about opening up hotels, but they shut that down. Does Hotel Tonight open up a last minute booking only hotel in some, you know, global transient markets?
What an operational nightmare that would be. I can't imagine being in that.
You can't book more than 3 days in advance.
Predicting your revenue would be insane. I think that will be something that's going to happen, though. Especially, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, we're getting into September and October, November, which is, dare I say it, potential for lockdowns and restrictions and travels again. And so I'm just saying, you know, don't want to be the buzzkill here, but with brands like this, they have to think of ways to, you know, foresee stuff like that. The hurdles are to come. So
yeah. Does Expedia launch a Orbitz or Hotwire or Travelocity hotel?
I wouldn't stay there. Like, it's not my choice, but
I stayed in the Kayak. It's awesome. Like, there's,
yeah.
So there's no reason that Expedia couldn't pull something off like that.
True.
I never really associated Kayak with luxury travel or cool, sexy boutique brand, but they pulled it off with Lifehouse's help. So
yeah.
I'm interested to follow that. I also, I think we're pretty open about it. I expect more M&A, particularly on the vendor side in hospitalities.
Yeah.
And I expect more brands to either raise money or get bought up. So there's your bold predictions for the next, however many months until they happen.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, I think that's good note to end it on for the show. But we also got to say one quick shout out to our good friends at
Breezeway.io/GMH.
Go check them out. We love them. They're amazing. And if you haven't checked them out, you're missing out. So, my man, it was good to see you again. Hopefully next week we'll have our good friend Michael Ross back on the show. But we got anyone who's listening or watching right now, we actually have quite a good guest lineup coming out in the next week or two. So we'll make an announcement on our social media. So make sure to follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram, because it's going to be all coming out on those channels before we get there. So stay tuned, and we'll see you guys again next week.